Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, dude.
The 90s called.
With Christine Taylor and David Lasher.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Hey, Dude. The 90s called. I am one of your co-hosts, Christine.
And I'm David.
Hi, David.
Hi, Christine.
I got to just see David's daughter who's home from college on Zoom. That's so exciting.
So nice, honestly. So nice to have her home.
Yeah. See, Ella is in the neighborhood, so I see her a lot more often. You guys are so far away, so it must feel so good to just have her back.
We went January until April without seeing her.
Yeah.
Like that's, it like hurts. It hurts your heart.
It hurts.
Like 4 months without seeing your baby.
And then there's those moments like during their teen years where you're like, I can't wait for them to leave. and then right. They go and you're like, what do I do with myself?
Right. You're like, thank God they're home. And no, thank God they're leaving.
Exactly. Our guest is already here in the waiting room, so I feel like we shouldn't waste time on idle chit-chat about our children.
Awesome,
we can do
dude.
That anytime, but we have the incredible Bill Bellamy in the waiting room. I'm so excited to talk to him.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
There he is. Welcome.
Dude, you haven't freaking aged a day.
Come on, baby.
Seriously.
Sexy is timeless, baby.
Okay, I love it. I love it. Can we all use that catchphrase?
Yeah, yes. It don't never fade.
I love it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, man. I knew I was going to have fun, so I said, let's do it.
We're so excited, man. I honestly, MTV in the 90s, there's nothing more exciting to talk about. Really, I can't even imagine what you've seen and who you've interviewed, and I can't wait to get into it with you.
Yeah, it's MTV is basically the beacon of the 90s, because you got to think back, you know, at that time, MTV was the place to learn about pop culture, music, entertainment. We didn't have social media or the internet. So literally, right, like right. Everything, yo, like everything you learned was in one spot. Yo, you gotta, you like, yo, you don't have MTV. You gotta see MTV. That was on MTV yesterday. What? It was like that.
Yeah, MTV News was our popular culture news. Like, there's no question. You know what I mean? That was where you learned about what everyone was doing.
Kurt, what was his name? Who was the guy that did that?
It was Kurt Loder.
Kurt Loder.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you forgot. Kurt Loder. They just shut down MTV News 36 years. This year. They just shut it down last week.
End of an era.
End of an era. We can go into what happened to MTV, but yeah, at the time it was Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all in one place. That's where everybody went.
Yeah. And I love that, you know, that aspect of the 90s, where, you know, we all went to one place, got our information, and we got it, you know, simultaneously, and it filtered into the culture. You know what I'm saying? Like, if this was the hottest song, if this was the hottest video, or if this is what people are wearing, you know what I mean? And a lot of times back then, the videos dictated that what people were, you know, what the styles were, you know right. what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now I don't know how you know what style is.
I don't know either.
I don't know. Like, golly, I don't know who is.
It's the Kardashians. The Kardashians tell everybody what to wear.
Yeah. You know, what kind of lipstick or what kind of lip gloss or something.
MTV Jams, man. I mean, listen, one of my oldest, dearest friends is Carson.
And, that's my guy, Carson Daly. Yes, sir.
Dude, seriously. When he lived in L.A., we were inseparable. He's best friends with my brother-in-law. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he got the Today Show gig and moved to Long Island. But Carson and Daisy Fuentes also was a very close friend of mine. And I did a lot of the MTV beach houses in L.A., in Santa Monica.
So you came out here with us.
Oh, yeah, Carson, I did. Yeah, I did weeks of beach house. I'm in L.A. I live in L.A.
So when Carson, quick story with Carson, Carson came in my last year. So he's a freshman. I'm a senior. So he came in.
TRL started your last year?
Yeah, it started because I was hosting it. Carson was hosting it. It was relatively new. So I want to say 97 going into 98. He was brand new.
Oh, wow. Wow. Did they bring in guest host? Because I feel like I did. I ended up on a beach house. I don't know. Was it? I'm trying to remember. The one I did was in Malibu somewhere.
Right. So Malibu, it was only two West Coast spots. The West Coast was the Malibu one. Okay. And then the beach house that we did at the old SeaWorld, which was way down. I was staying in Palos Verdes, so it's Rancho Palos Verdes, along the water. We did our beach house at the old SeaWorld. It was closed.
Oh man!
What's so cool to me about that time, and I know TRL was like this, and MTV Jams. If you had a song to release, you had to go through you guys.
Oh, no question.
There was
movie. No, it's no question. It was either,
right. You had to do your show.
Got to. That's why I got a chance to interview all the big stars, because MTV was so popular and such a great launch pad for any project that you was doing, especially if you wanted to talk to the young audience. Like, we had the 14 or the 15 to 30 locked.
Yeah.
So if you had a big movie, summer movie, if you had a new TV show, like, we had the whole cast of 90210, we had the whole cast of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, we had all those shows, they had to come see us. Buffy the remember Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
right, of course.
Dude, yeah, you were bigger than the Tonight Show to reach that audience.
For young people, yes. Mm-hmm.
So let's go back and let's talk about, I mean, I know you were born in Newark, right? And you got discovered by Russell Simmons or Def Comedy Jam. How did your career start?
Well, Well, in my book, Top Billing, I kind of talk about it. But basically, like, I kind of got lucky just thinking I wanted to do comedy. I wasn't really, you know, oh, my God, my whole dream. I wanted to be a comedian. Oh, my God. I wasn't thinking about it. I lived a regular life for, you know, pretty much up until my sophomore year in college. And then I was hosting comedy shows, talent shows, anything that was at school that was fun. I was like, I need a host. You know, at that time, I didn't know I was a comedian. And so I remember I was just like, dang, I want to do this. I think I want to be a comic and stuff. But it didn't
When did you realize that you had comedic chops?
Hosting. Because I was so fast. Like, I could respond to anything that was going on in the room. I could see something about somebody and talk about it, make it funny. You know, so I was really, really gifted with just natural abilities to be able to read rooms and read, you know, moments. So that was an attribute, actually, when I think about it. And so then I was like, dang, I had people cracking up, man. I can't believe I said that, you know. And so, you know what I mean? Like, I just said it in the moment. I didn't know it was going to hit like that. So.
And then once you get that feeling, you're like, I want to go a little further. I want to push the, right?
It's like a drug. You get
a taste of it, right?
Oh my God. It's like, it's almost like when you go to karaoke and you hit that song and you kill it, you'd be like, yo, I like karaoke.
Yeah, it's so true.
I might make this a career.
Yeah. This might be my second job, karaoke, you know? So, once I found the love for comedy, I just never stopped, you know, messing with it, just teasing and going over there and dabbling in it. And, you know, I didn't tell people that I like comedy at first. I kind of was like, kind of shy about it because I was like, it's going to sound crazy. I'm just going to sound like I'm a goofball.
And you're a student at Rutgers University,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a finance major. It don't make no sense. It sounds so goofy. And so one of my best friends that's in my book, Top Billing, once again, this is all in the book. So you got to read the book, but I can't tell you the whole book without so you can buy the book. But
we'll buy the book. Well, give us some teasers. Yeah, we'll get the book, and our listeners will get the book.
Oh yeah, we will read the book. I can't wait to read the book.
You'll give us some sound bites for the book.
Yeah, it was one of my good friends in college, and I just basically told him that I was like, his name was Jazzy. I was like, Jazz, you know, I want to be a comedian, bro. And he was like, Nah, for real? Oh shoot. He had so much confidence in me.
That's all you need, man. You need one person.
My one guy, like, you know, I'm giving him his flowers because he could have just been kind of been like, man, you in school. He was just like, dog, I could see you doing that, man. You funny as hell. So, boom, there it was. And then, you know, once the flame was lit, I just kept chasing the flame, you know, just kept chasing it and, you know, hosting shows or being on a little bit of a show and they need a comedian for 6 minutes. I go up there and tell some funny jokes, you know.
Were your jokes based in, you know, sort of observational were you trying to actually think of sort of, okay, let me sit down, let me write, let me come up with some funny ideas? Or what were you just sort of, you know, taking people in your life
were you a punchline guy or a storyteller?
No, at that time, I was just talking about college.
Okay.
I was talking about my reality of being broke in school and then, obviously, you know, we're chasing girls, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, everywhere. You can do an hour very easily about that.
Yeah. You know, all the stuff you go through chasing women is hilarious. So like, I just made it real, you know. Actually, I was telling funny stories about my life. They weren't such, you know, jokey joke kind of jokes. But then as I kind of got better at it, telling jokes and studying other comedians, I was like, yo, you can really write these as a joke. Like, this is a funny situation that probably happens to everybody. I can make this a really funny joke. And so then once I started realizing premises and setups, that was later, though. I didn't know. I was just naturally funny. So I didn't know, like, oh, there's a rhythm. There's technique.
Right. You developed the craft.
Right. Right. Like, this is how you actually shoot a basketball. I didn't know that. I was just shoot.
Right. Wait, so Showtime at the Apollo was your first big thing, and then Russell saw you? Or how did that happen?
Russell Russell Simmons got wind of me in New York. So I was doing like the circuit, Jersey, New York, Philly, Connecticut, like anywhere that you could drive through roughly, you know. Right.
The tri-state area.
I was the king of the tri-state.
Yes. Yes.
I was the king of the tri-state.
Not so hometown.
Right. So there were some real cool clubs in New York City, in Harlem, in downtown, in Soho. There was a lot of great little spots to like hit in one night. Like you can be in the Village, do a spot at the Cellar. You can shoot uptown to Harlem. You can shoot to Queens. You can shoot like if you had a good lineup where you could, you know, do an early show down in the Village at 7, then you could do another spot at 9:30 and maybe a midnight spot, depending on how, you know.
Dude, that's a long night. That's a long night of work.
Yeah, but you're only getting spots.
Right.
You're not getting, you know, when you knew, you ain't getting no hour. You ain't getting 20 minutes. You get 6 to 8.
Oh, wow.
And they lighten your ass at 5. So.
Right.
So I can't believe the Comedy Cellar was there when you started. That's.
Yeah, the Cellar is like a part of New York City. Like the Cellar has always been a part of my life. And I always like going to that club. It just reminds me of the beginnings. But anyway, so when I was up in Harlem, I did a club called the Uptown Comedy Club. It was a little hole in the wall, but it was real good. It was like real people with like celebrities be up in there and shit. You'd see like Big Daddy Kane in there. You'd run into like LL Cool J or Salt-N-Pepa. They used to be in there like New York people. Used to be at the Comedy Club on a Friday, Saturday night, and it was lit. So I used to go over there because I was like, dog, this is the flyest urban spot, and it's in Harlem. I got to go up there and kill. And so I used to go over there all the time, and I started making a name for myself at Uptown. Like, and, you know, and back then, you know, the ladies kind of was like feeling Bill Bellamy, you know.
I'm sure they were. No. Comedy kills, man, with the women.
Yeah, the ladies make was them, like
they. They like the funny guys.
Like, I like Bill Bellamy. Like, I don't even know why I like Bill Bellamy.
He makes me laugh.
He's so cute. He's so funny, though, right? They used to
That's a great accent.
No, right? That's such a New York accent. It's like, yo, Bell, like, you was good. Like, I really enjoyed you. Like, me and my girlfriend, we was like, yo, if Bill here, it's going to be a good night. And so.
Oh, dude, but, I feel like I'm there with you. Like,
you know, that's such a New York accent. So I love that spot. And one night, Russell Simmons just happened to be there with some HBO people. They were scouting at this time. I didn't know what Def Comedy Jam was, but they were scouting, like, you know, comedy clubs and the vibe and the energy of urban comedy. And I was one of the guys that, you know, was there that night.
Wow.
You know, he walked up to me and he was like, I like what you're doing, man. You're really good, man. You got something going on. And I was like, thank you, sir. I didn't even know who he was.
So you didn't know who Russell Simmons was?
No, man. I wasn't, you know, I was a Jersey dude. Like, I wasn't in the Def Jam and like, you know, labels and knowing what artist is on what label.
Right.
Oh, my God. How old were you at this point? 20?
I'm probably 20. I'm 22.
Yeah. 20. Yeah.
You didn't know Russell was in the audience that night. You just did your regular set.
I just did a killer set, though.
I'm sure.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thank God I did a killer set and everybody was going crazy. So that was what was that really worked in my favor because I had such a good set. I didn't know I was showcasing for HBO, technically. I didn't know. I come off stage and everybody's like, yo, man, you funny as hell, man. They didn't even know my name back then. Yo, what's your name again? Yo.
You better remember this. You know that saying, you know, success is when preparation meets opportunity.
Absolutely.
And you don't know when the opportunity is coming, but man, you did your set every night. And sure enough, Russell came one night.
That's why I always tell people, man, play hard, do everything. Practice. I tell my son this all the time. Practice how you play.
Mm.
That's it. Don't take no days off. Don't, this show, I'm going to do good. This show, I'm going to take off. No. practice how you play. Do all your shows with all your energy, with all your best. Always put your best out there. You never know who's in the audience, ever.
Yep.
Ever. And that person in the audience could say, oh my God, you're right for this. You're right for this movie. You're right for, you know. Oh my God, so, this kid's amazing. Who is this guy?
Yeah, you got to bring it every night. I mean, you know, preparation meets opportunity. You don't know when the opportunity is coming.
And sprinkle a little bit of luck in there, depending on who shows up on a given night,
just
right?
Just a little bit right there. Put a little bit.
Some of the magic fairy dust. Come on, right?
But everyone gets a little bit of luck at some point. At some point, everyone gets it.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride, we're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites!
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way!
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear!
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool!
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elia Kani, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
So after Def Comedy Jam, how did the MTV gig come about?
Well, it's kind of weird, the timing of it all. So basically what happened was, and this is why on paper, it looks like I shot out of a cannon. But what happened was I taped Def Comedy Jam that was sitting on the burner waiting to come out. And so I had got seen in a comedy club from by Tracy Jordan, who wanted me to come in and do a what they call a test, like a screen test. So I screen tested for MTV after I taped my Def Comedy Jam. So January of 1991, my Def Jam airs. I get a stream test in February and I'm on MTV in the summer. So it looked like I went from HBO to MTV and went boom, back. That's how
that's
I blew up.
That's a big year, man. That's yeah, a big
that was
year.
That was like, I went from, what's your name, to you, Bill Bellamy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you guys on MTV, you blew up so big.
Just like that. Bam. And I remember people going, because I always used to say, hey, this is Bill Bellamy. Welcome to MTV Jams today. Hey, I'm Bill Bellamy. I can't always say my name, Bill Bellamy. So when people greet me, they always said my name the way I said it, Bill Bellamy.
Right. It was not just a one-namer. You were always Bill Bellamy. Right.
I'm always Bill Bellamy. It's like words become one. Bill Bellamy. That's Bill Bellamy. That guy looks like Bill Bellamy. Right. Oh, my God. Are you Bill Bellamy? You know.
And do you still get that? Is it still like that with? Yep. Yeah. I bet.
Yeah. They'd be like, Bill Bellamy, you are my hero. I was at Dunkin' Donuts this morning. And the guy goes, Bill Bellamy.
It rolls off the tongue so nicely, doesn't it? Bill Bellamy.
He was like, you went to my, he said, you did comedy at my school at Eastern Connecticut University. I remember that. Because I only did it one time and it was in the middle of the woods. I was like, this is where they kill people. This is where they bring people to kill them.
Wait, can you take us back to what are your favorite interviews? I mean, I see here, you know, Michael Jackson, Notorious B.I.G., Tupac, Kurt Cobain. What are the highlights for you when you look back on the work that was done and everyone that you got to interview?
Well, there's just certain moments that were just like super comical, you know, like when Dr. Dre was doing Snoop's album, people don't know this. During this time, Dr. Dre drove his Ferrari down the 101 at 125 miles an hour with helicopters, and he was under house arrest.
Dre was under house arrest?
What?
Go back and look it up. Dr. Dre is the first person I ever met that was under house arrest. So you rich and you famous, but you on timeout. You can't go outside. So I go to Dr. Dre's house. He's living out in Calabasas. He got an ankle monitor.
I never heard this story.
I don't remember
this
at all.
So Dr. Dre set his whole studio up in the garage.
And you came to him.
I go to his house. He can't walk to the gate because every time he start walking, go beep, 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 beep.
Stop it. Oh my God.
So he got to go sit in the kitchen. He can't go near the perimeter.
Did he give you a good interview though? I mean,
oh yeah, and it was, we recorded it. It was me, Dr. Dre, and Snoop in his house, and is under house arrest. We didn't shoot the ankle bracelet, but I saw it. It was right there.
You saw it.
Yeah, it's right there.
Wow.
But I got a million of those. I got a million of those.
Well, you saw the beginning of, I mean, I guess rap had started a little earlier than your show, but like, my God, you saw this development. R&B, hip hop, rap.
So what happened was before I came to MTV, it was Yo MTV Raps, right? Remember that? Yo MTV Raps.
Yep.
Yo MTV Raps, but they only did rappers like rap music, like Nas and like Digital Underground, stuff like that. Okay, whatever. But what happened with MTV Jams, why it blew up, it was a hybrid of rap, R&B, and pop.
Right.
So if you were a top 40, no matter what you were, you could be on MTV Jams. That's why my show blew up, because I had more artists. It wasn't just one genre. You see what I'm saying? So that's why I was able to interview Kurt Cobain and then turn around and do Michael Jackson, then turn around and do Amy Winehouse or whoever. Like it was just because if you was hot, or you had a hot movie, you had to come see me because I was the number one VJ with the most views. So that you, I was like goddamn Instagram, you know.
Exactly. And you were sort of the first of I would guess people letting you in to their lives, like, you know what I mean? Like getting that sort of in depth that you know, like, we're gonna let you in because, you know, this is only good for us too. So that's so fascinating.
So what's really fascinating about my opportunity when I think about my life, and it goes back to timing is everything, is that MTV was very segmented. They were only playing rock bands. They were playing no black music, no pop music. They started out as a rock network, right? Mm-hmm. And so in the 90s, they were opening up the doors a little bit to different types of music. Michael Jackson wasn't even on MTV at first. Do you know what I'm saying?
Whoa.
Yes,
Thriller,
sir.
The Thriller video could have made MTV.
No, it did. But Michael Jackson wasn't on MTV at first. Michael Jackson couldn't get on MTV because he wasn't considered a rock star.
Are you serious?
That's what's so crazy. Yeah, go back and do your research. So what happened was MTV said, you know what? We're going to open it up a little bit and let some more artists come through this thing. So now Michael Jackson comes through, and now Michael Jackson exploded. Like Michael Jackson went from, Michael Jackson went bananas. And that's why he was doing all the videos. That's why Michael Jackson blew up, because he had the budgets to do those videos. You remember he was spending $3 million, $4 million on videos.
The Thriller video was a feature film, but I remember the day it dropped, the entire world watched it.
Exactly.
The commercialization or the mainstream taking of rap and hip hop was partly part of your show. And I listened to an interview with Ice Cube the other day on Howard Stern, and he said, we made music. We never thought anyone wanted to hear about our music. We never thought it would go mainstream. You know, like there was a turning point where rap and hip hop became the most popular music. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. And so your show like was a bridge.
Right. And so what I'm trying to tell you why, you know, artists like Ice Cube and Dr. Dre and Snoop all thanked me, because they went from being almost like top gold artists to being triple platinum.
Right.
So because MTV was so influential in record sales for you, that meant you crossed over to the white kids, like you crossed over to a suburban audience, to an audience that wouldn't even know you. Like that's how great it was.
Exactly.
So then you got right. So you got me being the bridge to all these new artists. So I'm like saying to white suburban America, I'm saying, hey guys, did you guys know this group is good? Did you know that TLC is amazing and they're the number one girl group ever? Oh, do you know that Alanis Morissette is a bomb ass new artist? Like I had. It was crazy.
Yeah, you were almost the way to verify.
Right.
An artist, right? It was like you were the filter to verify.
Yes.
You were
the
Charlie check mark. Yeah.
Exactly. And it meant a lot. It meant a lot. So I have all these platinum records, you know, in my man cave. Like I have, you know, a Genuine platinum, Janet platinum, Lil' Kim, Biggie platinum. Blind Melon, Hootie and the Blowfish. Like, just think about all these bands, No Doubt.
And they send you a platinum album for helping get them to that.
Thank you. Back in the day, they would send you a platinum plaque, like whatever they achieved. And it would say my name. It would say, thank you for your support on this album. You know, Smashing Pumpkins. Boom, boom, boom.
People don't even talk about
Smashing Pumpkins. You know how big Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh my
gosh,
the 90s. Are you kidding? Smashing Pumpkins? Your man cave must be very well decorated. Appointed.
I gotta read your book, dude.
because it's so crazy. People forgot. This is the thing. That's why I think my book is going to really make people, like, especially if you're of a certain age, you're going to be like, yo, I was an intern at blah, blah, blah. I had just graduated from college. You're going to remember where you were, bro, because the way I do the book, it's like it's years and eras. You're going to say, I just moved to New York. Because you're going to realize.
Yeah, music takes you right back.
Yeah,
to exactly right where you were in the time
you haven't
of your
even
life.
Heard the name Smashing Pumpkins in probably 15 years. Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, come on.
Right? Are you kidding me?
They're still jamming hard.
Yeah, but they were new. You got to understand.
They were new.
You talking like an OG right now.
Dude,
I'm telling you, when they were
at the beginning of all of it.
Come on, man. They were brand out the can new on my watch.
Red Hot Chili Peppers represented the city of Los Angeles.
Oh my God, bro. Anthony Kiedis, Flea. Oh my God. I mean, it was just an era of, like, it was literally an era or a decade of, oh my God. And I always tell people, y'all sleep. The 90s was incredible. It was just like one of those eras, man, where what I like most about it was bringing all the different races together, because what happened was there was a really nice emotion of people that got a chance to meet and know each other through the music. So MTV, whether it was intentional or not, what MTV did was bring cultures together, different people from different areas, different demos, to a same party. And they was like, yo, man, you cool. I never met nobody that was Mexican. I never met nobody that was black. I never met a white kid that never had no black classmates. We was all at the same party.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's the beauty of art, right? It brings,
yeah,
it doesn't matter it where you're from. What race, religion, everyone can appreciate the same.
Everybody was on the same page. Like, I'll never forget when I went to Woodstock, the second one, right? It was raining. I forgot what year it was, 94 maybe. It was in the middle of the woods. It was black, white, crazy.
Right.
It rained so bad. We was all full of mud. They called us the mud people. I was standing there with mud all over my face.
Just drenched.
I've been there. New Orleans Jazz Fest. I've been in the mud.
They had Aerosmith, Bush, Chemical Brothers, Creed, Cheryl Cole, DMX, Everlast, Smith Boy.
Oh my God.
Wow.
They had Alanis Morissette, Willie Nelson, Rage Against the Machine, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray.
We interviewed him last week. And you were interviewing people? You were there hosting?
I was out there, yeah, and backstage, wow. And we're live. So holy I can't moly. Make a mistake.
Oh, my God.
There was like, they had an IFB in my ear. Bill, you're going to, no, you're not going to Aerosmith. What? Rage Against the Machine. Rage Against.
Wow. You got to be on your toes, man.
Yo, it was bonkers.
At a certain point, you pivoted and started acting. So how did that happen? Did you love it as much? Do you love it as much? Is it something you want to keep doing?
Yeah, I love acting. That's not a problem. I just remember the reason I wanted to become an actor was because they felt like they were bigger stars than me.
Oh.
So
ooh.
So I'm like, okay, I'm interviewing these stars and they're coming to me, but they're stars and I'm like a host.
So you felt like there was a little bit of an elitist.
Or that you could do what they're doing.
I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to become a star because then someone's going to interview me. I don't want to sit here and be like passing the mic to you because you the big hot starlet and you got the new movie. I was like, okay, that's the chain of command. I mean, I'm a star in a way, but I ain't that kind of star. So I said, okay, in order for me to be that kind of star, I got to stop hosting and start making television movies because that's going to take me up. So now I'll be in that game.
Well, so, and you were obviously already comfortable in front of a camera. You said you were quick. You had, you know what I mean? It was probably something that just came so naturally anyway, right? A natural.
Yeah. So I was like, yo, man, I'm tired of interviewing everybody.
Look at the biggest talk show host inferiority complex.
Right.
Everyone wants something.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, Jimmy Kimmel, you know, as big as he is, he's huge, right? He ain't Margot Robbie.
He sure isn't.
But what I'm saying, like I'm saying, that's the hierarchy of perception. You know, I mean, they could be very much, you know, the same, you know, but like perception wise, the way people receive you is, you know, that's the game. That's the entertainment game. So to me, I said, man, I want to become a movie star because I want to be bigger than MTV. Like, I don't want my whole career just to be this one notch.
Yeah, you didn't want that to be your legacy. You want it, right? And also stretch yourself, right?
Right. So I had to push the envelope a little bit, step out on faith, you know, and it was a little scary. They was paying me a lot of money.
Right. Right, right. I know. That's the difference. That's where it's like, okay, now there's a little bit of pressure on me here because now there's an expectation, right? And people, I better show up. I better do this.
And then MTV, what was pissing me off was like, you know, sometimes they'd be like, you can't do that movie because you got to do this. And you, because they were in first position.
Yep. You had your contract.
Where I had my contract. And so my lawyers would say, well, technically you can't because you're there in first position and you know, you owe them X. My dream is over there and y'all holding me back like this. So when it was time to renew, I just didn't renew.
Wow. Because you enjoyed acting more. That was more of your aspiration.
Yeah. And they offered me a truckload of money too.
I'm sure.
Which I looked at it.
So then, Love Jones was your first movie, right? That was a huge hit.
Yeah, that was out of MTV. That was 90.
Hold on. Go back. So MTV actually gave you your first movie role?
No, no, no. So my first movie role while I was on MTV was Who's the Man?
Oh, that was right.
That was Ed Lover and Dr. Dre did that movie. And that might have been 93, 94.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Then I did Love Jones 96. It came out in 97.
Mm-hmm.
Then I did How to Be a Player.
Bernie Mac.
That came out in 97.
This acting thing's easy, man.
Yeah, it's a layup. I mean,
and then Oliver Stone. Can we talk about?
It's a layup. Yeah. It's a layup.
It's a layup. Yeah,
it's a layup. I love these.
It's going to last forever. How was Any Given Sunday? Oliver Stone.
That was a big movie. That was me, my first big studio movie leaving MTV. So at that moment, I was just like, yo, see, I'm glad I stepped out on faith because I had this opportunity that I probably wouldn't have had if I stayed on MTV. You know, I was 4 or 5 months on set with that movie. We shot in Miami. We shot in Dallas. So I couldn't have done MTV anyway.
Yep.
So that was the right choice for me.
How was the experience, though? Oliver Stone's, you know, notorious.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful, man. Okay. It was tough, though, because he's crazy. Everyone knows.
I didn't want to say it, but
everybody tried to tell me, you know, he crazy, right?
I heard you got to push back on him one time and then he leaves you alone.
Oh, he'll be like, you can do it, man. Come on. Run through that wall. Run through the wall. The character would run through that wall. Like, that's a brick wall. So
I'm not going to hurt myself. How was Al Pacino?
You know, the OGs, they were all very, 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 very nice, man.
Yeah.
And they were, I thought they were going to be more standoffish because we were like the new guys in the game and they were the veterans. But they gave us some really great, great gems. We sat around, you know, after we weren't shooting, we went out to dinner. We sort of bonded. Like I saw Al a couple, right after COVID, I saw him and he was like, Bellamy.
No way. Oh, yeah. That's sick.
It's so cool. Because I'm like, he, oh, I don't know if he can remember me.
Oh, they did. Dude, I did White Squall with Jeff Bridges, and I see him. Christine and I interviewed him, and it was like we were right there 20 years ago.
Yeah, amazing the memories they have. But that's such a good movie, Any Given Sunday.
Yeah.
Such a good movie. Such a good vibe,
you know. And so, I mean, to be honest with you, I think one of the things that I think is sort of significant in my life that I wanted to share with people is that you have to believe in yourself. Like, you know, sometimes you're going to sound crazy to people. Sometimes it's not going, you're not going to get the cheerleaders. You can do it. Yay. You know what? You just got to believe it first. Like, bet on you. You know, anybody that watches this show and you watch this interview, just bet on you sometimes. Like, you know, we all would love to get the whole send off. Congratulations on your great idea. Sometimes your vision is too much for people to digest, man. Whoa. I mean, like, what do you mean you're going to? What? You know, I've done that so many different times in my life. Like, you know, where I just said, I'm going to do that. And they'll be like, what? You gonna do movies? You don't know nobody in Hollywood. You don't know. You never went to acting class. People give you all the reasons you can't do it. You don't have to know how. You don't have to know how. God damn it!
You can just say when you were at Rutgers and you told your buddy, "I'm going to be a comedian." You need one person to tell you you're not crazy.
Yeah, like yo, maybe now and then you'll get somebody to say, but what happens is. Your biggest critics become your biggest fans.
It is true. It is really true. But you know what? You're right. When you said bet on you, I mean, it is, I think, you know, we're all parents here. And when I talk to my kids, I always say, you know, take some risks. You got to put, you know, it's okay, especially when you're young. It's okay to try something. If you're not great at it, fine, but take some risks. You don't always have to play it safe, you know? And it's
safe don't never get you nothing but safe.
Right?
I never played it safe. Like for me, I never let nobody ever talk me out of doing something that I can visualize in my brain. You know what I'm saying? Why is it in my thing is, why is it in my imagination if it's unattainable? Like, why didn't somebody else think of it, right?
Right. Why is it even there?
Why did it even pop in my mind if it wasn't achievable, right? People don't always understand your vision, but you can create your vision and then they can come see it live. You know what I mean? Like people watch me for 25 years, maybe. No, it might be 28 now. But people watch me become successful in front of them. So people feel a part of my success. Like there's certain people that grew up with me. Like I'm damn near like a TV show. Like, you know, like people who grew up watching Family Matters, or people grew up watching
Cosby.
Prince or Friends, you know?
Right.
Like when you
feel
watch
like
Friends,
you know you those people. Like, yeah, you feel like you know them. Yeah.
I just ran into Jenna Elfman yesterday, right? Do you understand how big Dahmer and Greg was?
It was huge.
What?
Huge.
I felt like I grew up with her. You know, it's the same thing. It's like, I feel like I know her so well, but I didn't know her the way I think I do, but I feel like I do because she was in front of me for years on television.
Yeah. You guys, funny sidebar story. Right before I came on here, I was, you know, my husband, Ben, called me from walking in the streets, New York City. And as he's talking, he goes, hey, let me call you right back. That's Matthew Broderick. And Ben and Matthew Broderick had worked together. And Ben calls me back like 10 minutes later. He's like, it was the best. Just running into Matthew. He's doing a play. He was walking to the theater, whatever. And he said about 10 million people wanted to stop and take pictures of us because it's like everyone feels like they know them, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, I would have loved to have seen that on the street. Ben and Matthew Broderick.
Oh my God. Matthew Broderick must get invited to dinner every night. Everybody loves him.
Ferris Bueller, man.
Bueller, right?
My God.
Do you know How to Be a Player was based off of his movie?
Wait,
which
what?
Movie? Ferris Bueller?
Ferris Bueller, Days Off, was an inspiration for how to be a player. It was a day in the life of a player.
Oh, no way. I would not have connected that.
Makes sense.
That's sick. But it's, I think your idea of leaving your comfort zone, and that's where the magic happens. And facts. it's not easy. But like I Bernie Mac has a great motivational speech on this. I showed, my son was trying to decide between two colleges. One would have been like a leap of faith where he didn't know anybody. And the other, he had all these friends and his cousins waiting for him. And I showed him this Bernie Mac speech. He goes, no one ever accomplishes anything in their comfort zone. The magic happens. The success happens. The growth happens once you leave your comfort zone. And it seems like you've done that over and over again.
You have to, man. And it's quantum leaps when you leave your comfort zone, because it's just stretching. You know, it's like, it's almost like, okay, I'll give you a perfect example of what I mean. Like, say you go to a yoga class, right? And you stretch and you do this right now. And then the instructor comes over to you and she goes, I'm going to show you how to breathe so that you can stretch from here to there. And you're like, oh, you're crazy. And the instructor says, do you trust me? Because if you listen to me and you let me show you how to breathe, you will be able to touch your toes or touch that right there. And you're like, oh. Now you can lead a class. Like, lady, you're pushing me. I want to hear it. Or you could take a little bit of trust and relaxation and then breathe and you achieve the goal, right? That's how life is a lot of times. We're right at the fork. A lot of us, we're at the fork in the road, the choice of whether I'm going to go all the way or not, right? And if you would have told me 25 years ago, I could make movies, move to LA, produce television, have a million famous celebrity friends, write a book.
Published author. Yeah, I was going to say.
I'd be like, what? There's going to be this thing in the future called Amazon, and you're going to be the number one bestseller on Amazon. What? What's Amazon?
Because you left your comfort zones many times.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride, we're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites!
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way!
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear!
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool!
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk to us about the book. Is it, it's a whole look back on your, from your whole life, or starting with MTV?
Yeah, it's my whole life, but then also too, it's the lessons of, in life that, you know, we're sharing some of them now, but like lessons in life that I want to inspire people where, you know, you can be a dream chaser yourself. You can create your happiness and your future, but you got to take risk and you got to believe before it happens. Hmm. Everybody want that 1, 2, 3. Oh, give me that 1, 2, 3, how to make a cake. Oh, 1, 2, 3. No one wants to do the work. And when you do the work, I think not only do you reap better rewards, I think you have more longevity because you learned things along the way. You learned how to climb a mountain. Byron Allen gave me one of the best analogies. We were shooting my TV show, Mr. Box Office, at the time. We were having lunch together. And I said, Byron, you know, you're a self-made multimillionaire at the time. He was probably, maybe he's worth now more, I don't know, a couple hundred million, but whatever.
Yeah, huge company.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got a nice blanket right now. So I said, Byron, what would happen if you lost all your money? You think you can get it back? Without a doubt, he said, I could get it back. And he said, I'm going to tell you why. Because I learned how to get my money. He said, now, if I had a helicopter fly me to the top of the mountain and I fell off the mountain, I would never get back because I never knew how to climb. So I just got flown up here. Mm. But the person that learns how to climb can climb again. I said, ooh, that's gangster.
Whoa. Mm. Dude, that's some good stuff.
That's good stuff, ain't it?
It is good stuff.
I'll never forget that. I said, wow, that's deep.
That's a great premise for a movie too, right? Take a billionaire, take away all his money and be like, do it again. That's a good, like, oh man. I believe that though. I do. The book is called Top Billing: Stories of Laughter, Lessons and Triumph. And yes. I'm psyched to read it, man.
Yeah. And the audio book is bonkers. So a lot of people, the young people want to hear it and it's in my voice. So the responses on the Audible, it's been crazy. People love, you know, because I tell it, I'm doing my book. My book sound like you just talking to me on the phone.
Like, I was going to say, it's probably like its own show. It probably feels like you're at one of your shows, right?
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
It's like I'm doing stand-up. It's like I'm doing stand-up. Because I hate when you get an audio book and everything sounds like Morgan Freeman.
I know. I agree. Even, and especially autobiographies when it's not the person reading it. Also, then it's weird for me. So it's, the fact that weird. I think that's the way I'm going to do it. I'm going
to
do it that way.
I've never listened to an audiobook. I'm going
to listen to my audiobook.
Oh, they're the best.
I do all the voices. I do my mom. I do my dad. I do Russell Simmons. Like, I just bring you in. I make it like, it's almost like a, like you said, like a stand-up. Like, you know, you're listening to a stand-up.
Phenomenal.
Oh, so fun.
But Bill, thank you guys so are amazing, much, man.
Dude. Yeah, this was a treat. You are awesome. Bill Bellamy. I'm always going to call you Bill Bellamy.
You got to say the whole name. Bill Bellamy.
It's a superstar name, dude. You were born a star.
You rock.
Thank you, man. You guys got a badass show, man. Congratulations and thank you, man. Top billing. Get it.
We're doing it.
Audiobook. Top billing. Bill Bellamy. Thank you so much, buddy.
Peace. All right.
What a great dude, right?
So cool. You know, we talked about it, our 90s time. It was like you couldn't turn on MTV. He was an institution. But I love getting people who have now been, you know, a couple decades outside of that period of time and to just hear his take on life and his drive and motivation. And I love, you know,
and reinventing himself, right? Like, taking really chances, great. Betting on yourself, that kind of stuff.
But it's great.
I was dying to ask him, like, what was the Kurt Cobain interview like? What was Tupac and Biggie?
I know.
Like, I want to see what he's seen. You know?
You sort of led it. You were hoping for it, and he went in other directions there.
Could you imagine, like, seeing what he's seen?
I know.
And interviewing the people that he interviewed during that time period. I can't.
Maybe it's in the book. Maybe it's in the book. Maybe he just didn't want to give it. He didn't want to give us everything. He told us that right at the beginning,
no,
too.
No, I did. I tried to get him to go into Michael Jackson, Kurt Cobain.
I know. We didn't even get into that he's trademarked the expression booty call. We didn't even get there.
Oh, he invented booty call?
Yes, that was the name of his show, and I was going to ask him if he has that actual expression trademark.
Oh, you should have asked him that.
I know. Oh, it's just that we got on we went on another tangent and started talking about all these amazing things. So, he was awesome, and that was another great interview. Really, really great.
It goes by really fast. There's no way to get all the questions in.
No.
Anyway, I hope people enjoyed it. I love seeing you, and I loved doing this interview with you.
Yes. Enjoy your time with Hannah being home before she goes away. Enjoy. Oh,
and Ella as well.
Yes.
It's good times.
All right, everybody. We will see you next week with another great guest. And thanks for listening, as always.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe and give us 5 stars.
And please follow us on Instagram at HeyDudeTheNinetiesCalled. See you next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting 2 young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.